Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you expect to take up a cross? What do you expect? That's the question for tonight as God's word speaks to us. Again, the gospel reading, a part of the gospel reading, as Jesus speaks to his disciples, he says, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So what do we expect? Do these words that Jesus had to suffer, be rejected, and be killed, do those shock us? Maybe they're just too common. Maybe we just take them for granted. We forget how very significant that those are. In a similar vein, how do you react when you hear of another school shooting? Another school shooting that has happened. As I was looking at this, 5 years ago, 2012, was the first one that we are recording or remembering as far as Sandy Hook. At Sandy Hook, there were 20 students, first graders, and six adults who were killed at that elementary school. Since that time, 5 years, there's been 239 school shootings. In those 239 school shootings, 438 people have been shot and 138 have been killed. Does that shock us? It shocked me reading them. It shocked me looking at them once again. But I have to be honest with you, it wasn't my grandchildren that were shot. It wasn't my children. It wasn't my spouse. It wasn't anybody close to me. And so those statistics really don't say a whole lot, even as shocking as that is. But what if it was my grandson or granddaughter? What if it was your spouse or your family member? It'd make a big difference, wouldn't it? We can't hardly blame Peter tonight. We can't hardly blame Peter as he has just made the great confession. Did you hear that in the gospel reading? Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Oh yeah, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of those guys. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter goes, whoa, you're the promised one. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for from the very beginning of time. And Jesus says, Peter, you're right. But then Jesus said very plainly to Peter and to all the disciples, this Messiah, this Christ, I am going to suffer, be rejected, be killed. I know he didn't hear about the third day rise again, but as Peter hears this, he is shocked. He is shocked. This is his very best friend. This is the one that he's placed all his hopes, all the expectations for years and years, all these expectations in Jesus. He had other plans for Jesus. He had other plans for himself as well. And so how significant it was that Peter would say, no, Lord, that is not going to happen to you. A good friend will always try and correct a friend who has these crazy ideas. A good friend will always try and protect their friend from going off the wrong end. Peter thought he was protecting Jesus, but Jesus, being the best friend, is needing to correct Peter. And so, as we hear, as Jesus had to say the devil, as he was tempted in the wilderness some 3 years before this or so, get behind me, Satan. What does he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Here Satan was coming through Peter trying to turn Jesus from doing exactly what he came to do. Jesus knew what was expected. Jesus knew that he would suffer and be rejected and die. And he wanted his disciples to be ready, and so he was telling them that. And so Jesus says to Peter, Peter, get behind me. and he saw all the other disciples the same way. How important it is that Jesus' disciples know Jesus' real purpose. For the disciples to know what to truly expect of Jesus. Not grandiose things, not wonderful things, not beautiful things here in this world. So often, people want to treat Jesus like a vending machine. Jesus, I want to come to you for all these wonderful things. I want to come to you for health and for wealth and for happiness and for all these wonderful gifts that you give to us. The disciples, as they signed up for being disciples, as Jesus called them, I wonder what they expected. Especially as the disciples saw that first miracle of changing water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Whoa, this is pretty good. As Jesus stilled the storm on that Sea of Galilee, whoa, this is even better. As Jesus healed the sick and the lepers and those who were lame, whoa, this is great. As 5,000 men plus women and children flocked to hear Jesus, and Jesus feeds them all with bread and fish. Wonderful. This is what I signed up for. This is how I want to follow Jesus. Is that also the same with us? But Jesus comes to them and very plainly says, here's what you can expect. You can expect that your Messiah, that the Son of Man, that I will suffer and be rejected and be killed and on the third day be raised to life once again. What a contrast. What a contrast. And Jesus says, not only can you expect that of me, but also you can expect that you're going to have a cross to carry. That the expectation that you can have is that life is going to be difficult for you. That as you follow me, there will be a cross involved. How true that is, isn't it? We live in a world today that talks about no wait service, about medicate the slightest pain that we might have, fix whatever it is that's wrong with me, make my life easy and make my life very pleasant. We have a world that says it's all about pleasures. It's all about satisfying all of your desires. And Jesus comes and says, that is a lie. Jesus comes and says, take up your cross and follow me. Brian's children's message was helpful. Anybody can wear a cross. Lots of people wear crosses. The cross is a beautiful symbol, but what does it really mean? As Jesus comes and says, take up your cross and follow me, does that shock you? Is that a shocking kind of a statement? It means that things are really going to be hard. And that without Jesus' help, we can't bear it. As Brian says, Jesus comes alongside of us and works with us and bears that cross with us. Can you really bear that cross? Not alone. We can only bear it as Jesus comes and bears it for us and with us. As Peter rebuked Jesus, sometimes we might rebuke God as well. God, why is this happening to me? God, what have I done to deserve this? God, why are you doing this to that person? Natural questions. Natural questions that come from a pretty self-centered and sinful existence, but very natural for us to ask. And it's like Peter's rebuke of Jesus. It didn't turn Jesus off. Jesus wanted to bring Peter back again. And so even with those rebukes, as those kinds of questions are asked of Jesus, Jesus would come to us as we hear in the epistle reading. And he would assure us that he has good worked in plans for us. That as those crosses come into our lives, and as we're called upon to bear those crosses, as it's difficult to live in this world as a Christian, against the many things that this world speaks for and we speak against, he comes and he says, suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character gives us hope. And hope will not disappoint us because God has poured his Spirit into our hearts so that we might live our lives in that hope and blessedness of Jesus. Bearing a cross is very difficult. Bearing a cross is extremely hard, but doing it with Jesus gives us that blessed hope and assurance that he gives to us. We know that because the scriptures tell us that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died, and you see, at just the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for us. He came and he bore the cross so that the crosses that we bear that are not as difficult, as hard, and that are we are able to bear those crosses with him. Jesus spoke to his disciples. What can you expect? You can expect hardships in this life. You can expect things are going to be tough as you live in this world. But you can also expect that you're not doing this alone, that I am with you. He does warn them. He does warn them that he said, if anyone is ashamed of me before mankind, I will be ashamed of them before my Father who is in heaven. Wow, is that a tough message? It's so hard to speak out against some of these things that the world says is right. The big thing right now is this transgender thing of boys and girls, little boys and girls deciding they want to change their gender. And all this legislation of trying to make it happen. We know about the homosexual thing and the abortion thing and the euthanasia thing and all the different issues that are here in the world that are so contrary to God's word. And you maybe know how people react when you say, no, that's against God's will. No, that's not the best for you. No, that's not what God wants for you. Maybe you know how hard it is when someone is being talked about or gossiped about or whatever, and you stand up and say, no, that's not true. And no, you shouldn't be talking about that person. All of a sudden now, you're outside that group, and all of a sudden now, they might be talking about you as well. So many things in this world that are going the wrong way. And Jesus calls upon us to bear our cross, to speak that truth in love to our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might know that truth as well. There was a young woman who had a very massive cancer. And as the doctors performed surgery afterwards, they found out that they had not gotten all of the cancer, that it had gotten into the rest of her body. And so congregation members and friends came and said, oh, that's so hard for you. I'm so sorry for you. You're so young and you have so much more of your life in advance for you. And how can you even bear this? And she replied with the words on the screen. She said, Jesus suffered and died for me. And he also rose again. And so his suffering ended in resurrection. I know that mine will end in resurrection as well. Taking up the cross is hard. Taking up the cross is very difficult for us to do. But Jesus always promises us the blessings in the end. What can we expect? What can we expect? We can expect blessings from Jesus Christ. We can expect that resurrection blessings that we have already in this life, in spite of the crosses that we might have to bear, the difficulties that we might have in this life, and we can point others to Jesus Christ as a result of that. The scripture reading, the epistle reading from Romans 5. Therefore, since we were justified, it's been done. We are justified in Christ Jesus. Now we have faith in Jesus Christ, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace amongst the cross-bearing, peace amongst the difficult times. So what can we expect? Jesus. We can expect Jesus to be with us each and every step of the way. We can expect Jesus to strengthen us as we live our lives in this world. We can expect Jesus to bless us each and every day, no matter what happens in our lives. We can expect Jesus to be the one who leads us all the way to eternal life. Isn't it interesting that as Jesus rebukes Peter, corrects Peter, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Peter." So often, don't we want to lead Jesus? We want to tell Jesus just where we want to go and just what we want him to do. And Jesus says, no. Don't lead me, but he who would come after me will follow me. And so tonight, what do we expect? We expect Jesus to lead us and guide us in the most wonderful way throughout all the different areas of our life, and especially at times of cross-bearing, especially at difficult times. And we can expect that others who follow Jesus will receive the same blessing. What a privilege we have to say, "Hey, come with me and we'll follow Jesus. Come with me and hear the great blessings that Jesus gives." Because that's what we can expect, blessings from Jesus, as he promises us in his precious name. Amen. Now may that peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds filled with his hope until life everlasting. Amen.